Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen. Grace and peace, everyone. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
Grace and peace in Jesus' name, everyone. I want to say Shabbat shalom, too.
I know, right? Well, anyway, shalom, shalom, brother. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone online, everybody near far. Welcome to another edition of the Sounds of Living Water. This is the Sunday night edition with the Fellowship of the Spirit with our brother Paul Mazaluski and little brother Jeremy. Maybe reading. Tonight, we're still dealing with the Watch and Pray Meditation Series. Watch and Prayer Meditation Series. This has been real detail, y'all. He covered the time of the watch that you're supposed to be going in at prayer, and then also a time to even meditate in the time window that your prayers would be more likely receptive. Or when you're in line with the creation to go in because of the law. Brothers and sisters, this has been awesome, 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 awesome. So without further ado, we're going to turn this over to our brother Paul so he can continue to edify us in prayer and meditation. Amen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brother Joe. Praise God in Jesus' name. Welcome to Sunday night edition of the Sound of Living Water, sisters and brothers. And as Brother Joe says, this is our fourth part in the series Watch and Pray. And it's our third part in the morning watch or quiet time or what is commonly known as two-way prayer. But before we get into tonight's precept, why don't we go ahead and open up in prayer. I'd ask all the brothers to uncover their heads and all the sisters to please cover your heads and best you can face the temple in Jerusalem and we'll open in prayer or face toward the east. Great God of Israel, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity, Father, to gather. Lord, again, we ask that you keep us all safe, that you keep your ever-loving hedge of protection about us, Lord. And Father, as always, we ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father, open our eyes and our ears and give us what you would have us hear and see. And at the very least, Lord, we ask that you edify us. For these and all your blessings, we thank you in Jesus' holy name. To all here who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 All right, sisters and brothers, we're going to get right into this, and we will be wrapping this up tonight, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to finish the the instructions on two-way prayer, and then we're going to go right into a little daily personal inventory or a way that we can have that we can pray, where it says praying always. It's a way of prayer that we can pray on a 24-hour continual basis, and we'll get into that at the end. And we've already covered most of it. You'll see we pretty much covered all of it in the past 3 weeks, but we'll go over that again one more time. But just to go over briefly what we've gone over, sisters and brothers, elements to an effective morning watch or prayer. And we understand what we need to do in order to have our prayers heard. I'm not speaking to babes here. I'm speaking to those of us that are servants of the great God of Israel. So we understand what we need to do to have our prayers heard. We understand those essential elements, if you will, to have our prayers heard. And so these are the 8 elements to an effective morning watch or a quiet time or two-way prayer. And we've already gone over assigning a definite time first thing in the morning, getting quiet, relaxed, and expectantly patient, reading the Bible and devotionals before two-way prayer begins, praying to God with confession, petitions, thanksgiving, and intercession, listening for guidance from God, and then the writing down of the thoughts received. And we know out of all those elements of two-way prayer, the only one that's not biblical in nature, but there's nothing wrong with it, is the last element we went over, writing down the thoughts received. And if anybody is interested and you missed the first 2 parts, you can always find them recorded on the Sound of Living Waters radio blog. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the end, couple of elements of two-way prayer, and then we'll cover prayer in general, and then we'll just open it up to questions and comments and anything that can be added to this. So the 7th element, and this is where we're at today, of the morning watch or the quiet time or two-way prayer, is the checking the messages to be sure of true guidance from God. Because sisters and brothers, we've been quiet, we've been getting quiet. It's first thing in the morning where we are the most susceptible to any type of guidance that might be received. We're fresh, open-minded. We don't have any cares of the world in front of us. We just woke up, hopefully, from a good night's sleep. We've got our time first thing in the morning. We've gotten quiet, relaxed, and patient. We're reading scriptures, and we're throwing those scriptures around in our heart, or we're meditating on them. Okay? And then we're spending some time praying to God. But in this particular method of prayer, the next thing we do after the prayer, the confession, the petitions, the thanksgiving, and the intercession is we're listening for guidance from God. And this is where we know there's no little man or little spirit that lives inside us. We understand that. We know when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're filled with knowledge and understanding, and that we're putting that to practice in all our daily affairs. We understand that. But in this form of meditation, you will actually begin to hear a voice. And it will be a voice that as your time goes on practicing two-way prayer, you'll be able to differentiate between what are your thoughts and what is actually coming to you through the Holy Spirit. And as you practice this particular form of prayer, this two-way prayer, this little voice, we talked about it last week, we actually come to depend upon this voice, to depend and rely upon the guidance from this voice. Of course, as long as we're meeting the requirements for our prayers to be heard. In other words, we're walking pleasing in the sight of our God. So now, after writing down these thoughts that we've received, sometimes it could be a half a notebook page worth of different guidance that we've written. And as I talked about last week, sometimes when I'm done writing this guidance and I'm going back over it, I don't even remember writing some of it. So if I don't even remember writing it, I most certainly have to try to prove where it came from. And most assuredly, I can absolutely prove the voice that comes to you or the guidance that comes to you, that's the Holy Spirit and that might not be from the Holy Spirit, whether it's another spirit or whether it's your own thoughts subconsciously that you're throwing into the mix. And you'll see as you practice this form of prayer and meditation for a while, you'll be able to see when you're throwing your own thoughts into the mix subconsciously, because it'll be things that are going on in your life that you're not even dealing with yet for this particular part of the day. Maybe you've got some project going on at work, or you've got something going on, some family issues or something, and they're ongoing, and you're getting some guidance, and you just be able to tell what's coming from you and what's not. But we absolutely have to check the messages to be sure that this guidance is from God. And the reason for checking, it's basically quite understandable, and for Oxford Group people, essential, if one is not to go a wandering telling himself and others that God told me to, when in fact the thoughts and guidance did not come from God. And that is from an AA historian named Dick B, and the title of that book is Good Morning. It's on prayer and meditation. So now we have some scriptures that deal with checking guidance from God. And we're going to go first to James, the third chapter. James 3. And brother, pick it up in verse 14. James 3 and verse 14. Go ahead, brother.
But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Uh-huh.
This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and evil work.
Uh-huh.
But the wisdom that is from above is pure, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be treated.
So we have two different spirits here. We've got one that's earthly, sensual, devilish. It's got envying and strife, and there's confusion in every evil work. And then we have that wisdom that is from above. And we know that all good things come from above, from our Heavenly Father. And we'll read that scripture next. We have that wisdom that comes from above, and it is first pure. Remember those four absolutes we talked about? They'll come back up again this week. The four absolute standards of Christ's life. It's first pure, then peaceable, and it's gentle and easy to be entreated. Go ahead, brother.
Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
That's good. Let's go back to James, the first chapter. Just back it up a chapter or two. And, brother, pick it up at verse 16. James 1 and verse 16. Go ahead.
Do not err, my beloved brother. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and perfect gift, and it comes down from the Father of lights, from our Heavenly Father, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we know our Heavenly Father hasn't turned, because the book says that his Son, who brought the message, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing's changed with our God. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, real quick, brother. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And, brother, pick it up right at verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Go ahead.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we, if we are professing to be servants of God, we may be perfect through his word, and then we're thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, and pick it up, brother, verse 19. 2 Peter 1 and 19. Go ahead.
We have also a more sure way of prophecy, word of prophecy.
Uh-huh.
Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart.
In other words, until you get some understanding. Go ahead, brother.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Uh-huh.
The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, what holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
So we've got scriptures, and the scriptures are a more sure word of prophecy, knowing this, that the prophecy of the scripture is of no private interpretation. That this prophecy came in old time to men of God as they were moved by God to write these books. As they were moved by God to write these books. Let's go one other place. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And, brother, let's pick it up at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Go ahead.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Go ahead, brother. We're proving things with the Scripture. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 23.
Yes, sir.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, we also know, in Acts that we have the Bereans, and the book says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word or they listened to the message, and then they went into the book and they searched the Bible. They searched the scriptures. And we know we've got a New Testament that we have too that they didn't have back then that we can consider scripture today to see if the things that they were hearing was true. So the way that we prove the scriptures, because all good things come from our Heavenly Father and all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's a more sure word of prophecy than anything because there's no private interpretation. And we're supposed to prove all things by it. And this is when we do this, then we can't say that all the messages that we're getting in our two-way prayer when we're listening for the Holy Spirit or guidance from God, when we're proving it, we'll see that a lot of the things that we're getting won't be from the Spirit of God. They just won't be. Let me see where I lied. I didn't lose my part here. Let me get back to it here. There it is. Let's take a look at what the Oxford Group and some of them consider. The true and living God will never steer us into trouble. Hence, thoughts from God will be good thoughts. For sinners only laid out in detail the Oxford Group suggestions for making sure the guidance was from God and not from some other source. The tests as to the guidance received were, 1, does it go counter to the highest standards of belief that we already possess? Sisters and brothers, God is not trying to trip us up. He's not trying to steer us the wrong way. When your heart is right and you're walking straight and you're pleasing in His sight and you're taking things to Him in prayer, He's not trying to trip you up. He's not going to give you anything in two-way prayer that goes beyond your highest standard of belief of His holy word. He's never going to give you something that's outside of your understanding. There might be some things, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, that might come up that you might need to throw across somebody else that's practicing this method of prayer. But anything that comes from God is not going to be above what you already understand is absolute in His word. The second thing is, does it contradict the revelations which Christ has already made in or through the Bible? I just covered that. Number 3, is it absolutely honest, pure, unselfish, and loving? Those 4 absolutes, what the Oxford Group believes to be the absolute standards of the life of Christ. Absolute honesty, unselfishness, purity, and love. Number 4, does it conflict with our real duties and responsibilities to others, whatever they may be? Number 5, if still uncertain, wait and continue in prayer and consult a trustworthy friend who believes in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that came from someone that's known as A.J. Russell. He was another writer in the day of the Oxford Group, and it was called For Sinners Only. Now, sisters and brothers, I'm going to give you a real brief example of this. I was in two-way prayer many years ago, and my first Gentile teacher in the Word, his name is Brian Matt. He was at the Israel of God. He was actually a traveling reader for a brother, Anthony, that was a traveling teacher there. The brother since has passed, not Brian, brother Anthony. Anyway, I'm doing this two-way prayer, and I kept getting something about a farm and some chickens and some animals, and I'm seeing fruit trees and stuff, and I'm getting this for like a week, and I knew that Brian practiced two-way prayer. And all I'm getting is stuff about a farm. And in my guidance in the meditation is that I'm supposed to get in touch with these people with this farm. So I knew that Brian practiced two-way prayer, and I brought it up to him and asked him, and he said, you know what, I just got done traveling. We just got back with the Memphis, Tennessee class. And he says, there's two Gentile brothers out there, and told me how they came into the Word and everything. He said, they're looking at buying a farm in the area. They're looking at trying to feed people and all this stuff. They had this vision. They had this dream. So long story short, I went up to the Memphis class a couple times and hooked up with these two brothers, and so lo and behold, they bought a farm, and I'll give you the condensed version. Over the next couple of years, I helped them with some donations and whatnot, and we got together some chickens and some turkeys, and we put some fruit trees on the property and a nice big garden. It was about 9 acres of land. It was in Ripley, Tennessee, which was about 45 minutes from the Memphis class. And the people in the area were quite impoverished, and there was a lot of physical Israel in the area, and this farm helped feed quite a few people for quite a few years. And this all came to me in two-way prayer. And I wasn't quite sure on the guidance, so I checked it with someone else that I knew was practicing this form of prayer. So to continue, it says, of course, every thought that comes to us in the quiet time is not God's guidance. We need to test the voices that come to us along a line that is been so long disused or blocked. We have immediate cause to reject promptings which conflict with what we already know of His will. Nothing which is unloving, impure, dishonest, or selfish comes from God. Other suggestions which come to us may have to be talked out with some experienced person who knows how to listen to God. In other words, someone who's practicing this particular method of prayer and meditation. In other cases, we may have to wait for clearer conviction in our own minds. Sometimes the only test is to make the venture and act. We shall make mistakes, but an honest mistake is of far more use to God than the timid inaction which makes no venture. Cecil Rose, another writer of the day, and that was called When Man Listens. And a lot of these pamphlets that I'm quoting in this handout, which, by the way, is available on the Facebook page in the notes section of the Fellowship of the Spirit. You can find these pamphlets online or copies of them. And that, again, was When Man Listens from Cecil Rose. So we have that seventh element of prayer and meditation. Okay? Checking the messages to be sure of true guidance from God. And this, sisters and brothers, cannot be stressed enough. The Lord is not going to give you anything that goes contrary to your understanding of His word and His ways and His standards. Okay? Most times when we're taking something to the Lord and we're listening for the guidance from Him, it's a particular problem that we're trying to solve, or it might be a particular precept that we're trying to wrap our hearts around it. We just can't quite fit those last couple of scriptures in or whatever. Most of the time, when we're checking the messages to be sure of true guidance, and we've gotten these thoughts and we've written them down, we're looking for a particular answer one way or the other. So it's quite clear. A lot of times, we're just asking how we can be of help maybe to the homeless. Lord, show us how we can do a bigger, better homeless drive, or whatever the case might be. And He's going to give you some specific instructions in your two-way prayer. And that brings upon the last element of the two-way prayer, which is obedience to the guidance received. obedience to the guidance received. And just a couple of scriptures. The first one, we'll go to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs 3. And, brother, one verse, verse 6, 3 and 6. Go ahead.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, our Heavenly Father, and he shall direct thy paths, all thy ways. When we're casting all our cares upon him, because he cared for us, and that's his will, when we spend time listening for guidance to particular situations, he's going to answer us, sisters and brothers. And I know for a lot of us that sounds strange and foreign. There's only one thing you can really do. The only thing you can do is you can prove him. Especially if you're a husband and a wife and you're practicing two-way prayer. Because now you have someone there, you can be praying for the same particular situation or precept. And after maybe a week, you can take a look and summarize what the guidance was that you've gotten each day. And you can sit down together and bounce it across and bounce it against each other. And you can prove the Lord that way. Not tempt him, because he said to prove him. This isn't tempting him. This is proving him. No different than the brother when he said, oh, let the fleece be wet, let the ground be dry. Now let it be the opposite. And he picked up the fleece and he's wringing water out of it, and the rest of the ground is dry, and vice versa. That's proving the Lord. We're not talking about tempting. We're talking about proving two different things. Let's go one other place, John the 7th chapter. John 7. John 7 and one verse, brother. 7 and one verse, verse 17. Go ahead.
If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether he speak of himself. The 8th element and the last element of two-way prayer, obedience to the guidance received. Obey exactly and immediately the commands of the inner, still, small voice. It can be recognized by the fact that it never alters, never asks questions, but is always direct and explicit. That's another way, sisters and brothers, you can begin to differentiate between your own thoughts and any other thoughts from another spirit that might be coming in, and that still small voice from the Holy Spirit that comes from God. Okay? It can be recognized by the fact that it never alters. It never asks questions. It's always direct and explicit. In my experience, every time I've ever got a command or gotten a revelation from the Holy Spirit in this form of prayer, it's been very direct and explicit. And it's come out of nowhere sometimes. Whatever, it might just be, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Spend more time on your lessons. It's direct and explicit. It's not going to say, well, if you want to, maybe you can, you know, spend a little more time on your... No, it's going to be direct and explicit in whatever it's given you. Often, it asks for an obedience which is against or above what we might naturally feel disposed to give. This isn't saying above your understanding of God's word or his standards or his ways. This is saying it might be something that might seem strange to you, an obedience which is against or above what we might naturally feel disposed to give. Listen to that still small voice, the voice of the Spirit of God. That's from F.B. Meyer, and that's a book on meditation called The Five Musts. A moral experiment is worth 10 times an intellectual investigation in apprehending spiritual truth. Obedience is as much the organ of spiritual understanding as reason. Many people have come into a personal and living faith by trying the experiment which is implied in, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know. And that's by Samuel M. Schumacher, Religion That Works. Alcoholics Anonymous, the program of action, which is the step work, which part of it is the prayer and meditation portion of it, is called the program of action, and the Oxford Group's program for change were based on the idea that one could hear from God and receive the benefits of God's guidance when one obeyed God's known directives, whether they were set out in the Bible itself or received through messages from God. The key to listening was starting the experiment by making a decision, finding and forsaking the faults, righting the wrongs, and then tuning into God. That's Dick B, and that book is Good Morning. That's a book on meditation. These were more or less what they saw as like a preparation to and then getting baptized and then being a servant. That's basically, that's about the easiest way I can explain that. The key to listening was starting the experiment by making a decision. First thing you had to do was make a decision you're going to serve God. Finding and forsaking the faults, okay, you had to see what God's standard was, and it starts with those Ten Commandments. So you had an old man that could change, and the new man comes up in baptism. And anyone that's ever baptized anyone into the truth and has done it the right way has made sure that the individual knew how they were supposed to walk when they came up out of that water. Okay? So you had the decision, finding and forsaking the faults, righting the wrongs. These were the amends. And I alluded to Samuel, where he came up in front of the congregation of Israel and said, if I've defrauded anyone, if I've taken anyone from anything from anybody, if I had any illicit gain, I'd make amends right now and give it back to you. So it's the righting of wrongs and then tuning into God. God alone can change human nature. The secret lies in that great forgotten truth that when man listens, God speaks. When man obeys, God acts. That's by Frank N.D. Buckman. And that's a book called Remaking the World. Listen to this. The secret lies in that great forgotten truth. Great forgotten truth. Why is this a great forgotten truth? Because Israel's been scattered. That when man listens, God speaks. When man obeys, God acts. That's the covenant. Continuing the 11th step suggestions. Okay? God has made it very clear in his word that part of our faith was believing that what we ask of him will be given to us. We know that the stipulation is that we must be, to the best of our ability, obeying his commandments. We also know that what we ask of him must be in accordance with his will and completely free of selfishness. Completely free of selfishness. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Let's go to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew 21, and brother, one verse, verse 22. 21 and 22, go ahead.
In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter. Mark 11. Mark 11 and one verse, brother, verse 24. 11 and 24, go ahead.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, ye shall have them.
Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's go to 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John, the 5th chapter. These are part of what I call the essential requirements for prayer to be heard. And this believing part is so important, sisters and brothers. It is so important. 1 John 5, and let's pick it up in verse 14. 5 and 14, brother, go ahead.
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
And that's another thing. Asking according to his will. asking according to his will. Any productive prayer and meditation, sisters and brothers, you have to, one, be believing in what you're doing. You have to be believing that your prayer is being heard. We know that we have those essential elements for prayer to be heard. We have to be meeting those to the best of our ability. Okay? And then we have to be asking according to his will. We're not asking to hit the big money game, the big lotto, the big house, get the new car. Yeah, we're asking him to lead us and guide us. Oh, Father, it'd be nice if the, I could make this car repair or whatever. Help me make it, you know, give me the way to make the money or whatever the case might be like that. But it's got to be within his will. It can't be a selfish prayer for selfish means. We can most assuredly ask for ourselves if someone else is going to be benefited by that. If we're trying to be of help to somebody, then absolutely we can ask for ourselves. But all our prayers should be according to his will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added unto you. You don't go seeking all things. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Okay? I'm going to take you to the last page of the big book, the basic textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to break off into a basic daily personal inventory, if you will. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick, for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. That man in your, that you're asking in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick, that's not talking about someone who just can't stop drinking. Because what the pioneers of Alcoholics Anonymous saw was the inability to stop drinking or to put it down once you started was a symptom of what you were suffering from. And then it laid out other symptoms, hundreds of other symptoms of an alcoholic when they're sober. As a matter of fact, the first 100 men and women that wrote the big book Alcoholics Anonymous, about 40 of them were alcoholic. The other 60, where it says that we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body, were people that became spiritually fit. Because what they saw, the people that wrote the book Alcoholics Anonymous, alcoholism as they saw it, it was a hopeless condition of mind and body. And they called it a spiritual malady. And they said, until we straighten out spiritually and mentally, we will not straighten out physically. And that's just, I'm giving you a quick condensed summary of the book Alcoholics Anonymous and what alcoholism is. It's not a disease. It's a spiritual sickness. So the man who is still sick in your morning meditation that you're asking each day how you can help that man who is still sick, you're not asking to help the alcoholic. You're asking how can you help bring someone to Christ? Because what you're doing is you're taking away that spiritual malady from someone who is ignorant to God's word. And when you're asking in morning meditation how you can help that man, you will see that the Lord will give you some things that will blow your mind. And that just in itself will prove you, will prove him for you. And he'll open up doors where you'll meet new people that are actually eager and willing to sit down and hear God's word. Because you're asking in accordance with his will. It goes on to say the answers will come if your own house is in order, but you can't transmit something you haven't got. You have to make sure you're walking straight for any type of prayer to be heard, sisters and brothers. Page 164 goes on to say, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of the past, give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit is where I got my class title from. Because when you fear God and keep his commandments, you fellowship with other people in the Spirit. Because those that serve God must serve him in what? In spirit and in truth. So that's where I got fellowship of the Spirit. And then I ended this particular handout with, I hope that this might be helpful to anyone who might be interested in stumble upon this guide only by the grace of God. And that, again, if you want to, you can email me. I can shoot you an email on this particular handout, or you can go ahead and you can download it, or you can print it, or whatever you want to do right off of the Fellowship of the Spirit Facebook page. It's in the notes section. I think it's the only note I have. So now we're going to go ahead and get into something here called the Daily Personal Inventory. And I, at the end of that handout, I skipped over some of this because I wanted, I know we covered some of this in the first 2 weeks. I wanted to go over this one more time before we actually ended this series on prayer and meditation. What we just got done with was the morning quiet time or the morning watch, or what is commonly known as two-way prayer. And that is a proven method for spiritual growth. Okay? Of course, we're supposed to be praying and meditating all the time. So you should have some type of prayer and meditation routine that's down pat already, as anyone has been baptized and is a servant of the true and living God, whether it's two-way prayer or any other kind of prayer and meditation. This is where this comes in, this daily personal inventory. It's just a guide on how to pray a 24-hour day. And we're going to start this off with when we retire at night. We're going to go into on awakening in the morning, and then we're going to go into a little bit as we go through the day, and then we'll go ahead and open it up for comments and questions and the like. Brother Jeremy, will you please start off on the top of the daily personal inventory? Start off where it says when we retire at night. Go ahead, brother.
When we retire at night, we constructively review our day.
We constructively review our day. And this is the 11th step of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is prayer and meditation. Okay? And the directions are to improve our conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation. And these are some suggested guidelines. So when we retire at night, before we go to bed, we constructively review our day. Go ahead, brother.
Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid?
Some questions we want to ask ourselves. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Go ahead.
Do we owe an apology?
Uh-huh.
Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once?
Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which we should discuss with another person at once? What could that possibly be? Only you know your spiritual makeup. Only you know that conscience, when the Lord is using his spirit to smack you in the back of the head, you most certainly will know if you're keeping something to yourself that needs to be discussed with someone at once, because this is where the Lord's going to show it to you. Go ahead, brother.
Were we kind and loving toward all?
Were we kind and loving toward all? Go ahead.
What could we have done better?
Uh-huh.
Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time?
Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? As we're looking back at our day, we're looking at our actions throughout the day. And we're looking at these. And they're not hard to spot, because if you're really not playing church and you're trying to be pleasing to the true and living God, when these little slip-ups during the day happen and you fall short, then they eat at you. They eat at you sometimes for days. So if you're not playing church and you're really trying to walk pleasing in the eyes of God, some days you're getting smacked in the back of the head every step you take. So, were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Go ahead, brother.
Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life?
How do you pack stuff into the stream of life? How about this, sisters and brothers? You're filled with the Spirit of God. You're walking in at 7 o'clock in the morning. You're going through 7-Eleven doors to get a cup of coffee, and somebody comes rushing out and almost knocks you over with the door, and they don't say jack. They're huffing and puffing, cussing under their breath, and you just say, oh, man, I'm sorry. Hey, I hope you have a great day. And you turn around and walk in. Just that confrontation with you, of course, they're confrontational, you're not, could be enough to turn their whole day around. Just that, not rendering evil for evil, could be enough to turn their whole day around. Were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? Go ahead, brother.
Well, we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others.
But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. Sisters and brothers, when you start taking an honest look at your day every night, and you're really trying to walk pleasing to God, it's like you got on this brand new white T-shirt, and you're eating a hot dog, and a drop of mustard hits that T-shirt. That's what your falling short looks like. It's glaring. It stands out like a sore thumb. That's what it looks like during the day when you fall short and you slip up and it happens. It might be something as simple as being a little cross with a coworker. You'd have never noticed that before you were trying to walk perfect and you're praying and meditating on a daily basis and you're looking back at your day every night. Little things like that would slip right on by. When we're praying and meditating and we're taking an honest look at ourselves every day and we're keeping that mirror in front of us, these things are glaring. So we have to be careful not to drift into worry or remorse or morbid reflection, because we're falling into the depression of the woe me. How can we be of true help to somebody if the Lord might be put in front of us? Go ahead and continue, brother. After making our review,
we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken.
After making our review, we ask for God's forgiveness because we're under the new covenant. We don't sacrifice animals when we fall short anymore. We take a sincere repent of heart to our God through our Messiah, and we ask for forgiveness, and we're going to inquire what corrective measures can be taken or should be taken. And when we're really wanting to know, we might wake up, we'll be falling asleep talking to God, waking up with the corrective measures in our lap. And it'll be the first thought on our heart. Oh, man, that's how I could take care of that. Thank you, Father. But let's look at what we do on awakening. On awakening, brother. Go ahead.
On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead.
Uh-huh.
We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives.
Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. So we wake up, we're thinking about our day ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Of course, this is after prayer and meditation, if we're practicing two-way prayer. Or if we're just reading scripture in the morning and spending some quiet time, we're going to do that before we get into this. Because we want to make sure as soon as we get up, we use the restroom, grab our coffee or whatever, while we're still fresh in our hearts, we don't have the cares of the world in front of us, we want to sit down and dig into that book. Then when we're done with whatever form of prayer or meditation we're using, then we're thinking about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for today, but this is the important part. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced, separated from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. We're not looking for ourselves. We're in the morning, we're getting ready to start our day. We want to know how we can be of help to people.
We have a particular situation in our own lives we want to be able to handle, but we want to be able to do that with as meek and humble as we can and be as caring and kind to others as we can. Go ahead and continue that, brother.
Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives.
So we're just going to ask the Lord to separate us from any selfish and self-seeking, anything that's any self-pity or dishonesty or anything. We're just going to ask Him to clear our hearts. Father, we want to come to You pure. We want to come to You this morning, and we want our petitions to be heard, and we want them to be pure. We want to direct them within Your will, Lord. So we're going to clear heaven. We're going to ask Him to clear our thoughts of all this other garbage so we could just commune with Him in as pure a way as we can. We just want to know what He would have us do, especially in the time that's ahead of us, that we're going to be out in this world where we know we need to be a light and we want to be a light. We're asking Him to fine-tune that a little bit for us. Go ahead and continue, brother. In thinking about our day,
we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch for the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind.
Go ahead, brother.
Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not profitable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas.
Okay, sisters and brothers, keep going, brother.
Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
Okay, so now this is during the day. In thinking about our day, we face indecision. We might not be able to determine which course to take. We're going to ask God to guide us through this day. And we relax, we take it easy. We don't struggle. This is something where we're relaxed, we're patient. We're not going to struggle through this. We're not going to hurry this. We're not going to hurry this. That's why when you start doing this prayer and meditation, you start finding out you don't have enough time, you start getting up earlier. And by the time you find out you don't have enough time and it's time to start getting up earlier, you've gotten so much production out of this form of prayer or meditation that you can't wait to get up earlier. You want to spend as much time as you can. Sisters and brothers, I wish that my entire day was the period of between 4 and 6 in the morning on any given day. It's not always 2 hours long, but it's between 4 and 6 is when my morning begins most days. And, man, for that hour, hour and a half, whatever it is, I don't want it to end. Then I hear the babies getting up and the alarm going off. It's 6 or 6:15. I don't want it to stop. There is such peace that comes in this. So we relax. We take it easy. We don't struggle. At first, we're surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. And like I talked about earlier, we come to rely on this still, small, inner voice. But notice it says here, being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. All I kept getting first couple of months I was practicing this, and I was a carpenter, and I'm working with other tradesmen. So that anybody that's ever known tradesmen in the world, enough said, okay? And I'm new to this, and I'm getting, see how you could serve the people that work. See how you could serve the people at work. And I understood what I was getting. You know, go and see how you could be of help to others at work. Why make the mistake in the 9 o'clock or 9:15 break? Hey, so what's going on, Paul? Not much, man. Just trying to see how I could serve you guys today. It just slipped out. You can imagine the persecution I took the rest of the day for that one. So nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We actually come to rely upon it. Brother, what do we do when we conclude the period of meditation?
We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer. That we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only.
Okay.
We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped.
Uh-huh.
We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
And you can easily see why. You're not going to get the scripture even tells you. The Lord's not going to give you anything in prayer that's not according to His will. So now we're going to look at, as we go through the day, and this is going to be it. And this is, again, from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 11th step, pages 86 and 8 through 88. And this is just a daily personal guide for 24-hour prayer. We've already covered retiring at night, waking up in the morning, and now we're going to look at as we go through the day. Go ahead, brother.
As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, only saying to ourselves many times each day, "That will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions.
Uh-huh.
We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does.
And when it says we do not burn up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves, that's talking about being spiritually sick, selfish and self-centered, filled with excitement and fear and anger and self-pity, always making foolish decisions. Sisters and brothers, Alcoholics Anonymous was nothing short of a method to come into a relationship with God so that He can take away all your selfish and self-centeredness, because that's where all forms of spiritual disease start. Whether it be alcohol addiction, whether it be food, sex, you can fill in the blank. There's anonymous meetings out there of almost anything and everything, over shoppers, over dressers, underdressers, you name it, they have it now. And the reason for that is because the particular method that they used in the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous was all biblical and centered on coming into becoming a servant of the Most High God to the best of your ability. So that's where the prayer and meditation or the morning watch or quiet time, that was the inspiration for that, because it was prayer, and no one anywhere in any of the classes was teaching anything about how to pray. All they were teaching about needing to pray. They were saying that we had to pray always. They were saying that we could fast and pray. We could face the temple and pray. But no one was giving any particular method. And being that I came into taking hold of what was given to Israel through Alcoholics Anonymous, and a major portion of recovering from alcoholism was basically repenting, being baptized, and then continuing through your studies to continue to find out how God would have you behave yourself and do it. And in doing that, a major portion of it was prayer and meditation. And so through all that research, this particular handout, it's a 12-page handout, came into being. And then, of course, the daily personal inventory that's in the Big Book on pages 86 through 88 was a pretty definitive guide to get you started where the Holy Spirit can take over and can guide you. These were some suggestions that you can use to begin prayer and meditation. And then through your prayer and meditation, your personal relationship with God, you would be able to hone your prayer and meditation into something that was a productive part of your day, each and every day. So, without going any further, sisters and brothers, that is the four-part four parts of watch and pray, and the three parts of the morning watch, the morning quiet time, or two-way prayer, with a little added personal inventory for a little extra guidance on prayer and meditation. And, of course, anybody can always contact me to get a copy of anything that we've covered over the past 3 or 4 weeks. So that being said, as my brother leaves the room, I think he's done reading and he's done for tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to rightly divide God's word, and I hope that somebody got something from this four-part series.
I don't know if you and Miles been talking or whatnot, but it seems like both of you guys decided to wrap up y'all series on the same weekend. Yeah, what's up with that? You know, but I got to say, man, both of them was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, man. Great, great, great precepts on prayer and meditation. That's something that we take way too lightly. We don't get into enough of that. And I don't think Israel take that serious enough. We take prayer and meditation serious when we under the fire. You know, when we under the gun, when you're in a hospital bed or, you know, you facing some type of drama. But as far as everyday practicing and, you know, just breakthroughs and small things and everything, just asking the Lord to guide you in everything. You see, this is from God, you know, that we should learn how to approach him. You see, we should learn how to approach him. And the way that you approach the Lord is through prayer. And so he have a certain protocol, like you have brought up from the beginning. We just can't come to him any kind of way. We have to learn how he wants to be approached. You know, it's almost like Esther trying to approach Ahasuerus. You know, it was a request. She had to request, you know, his presence. You know, and even though she was his wife, it wasn't guaranteed that he would hear or see her. So when you think about this, man, it's almost on the same thing. But then when your ways please the Lord, like her ways pleased her Lord, you know, then you got this open door, you know, this relationship. Some of us dare to mention, but you have a personal relationship. And people get envious because God is dealing with you and he's not dealing with them. Ask Cain and Abel. So that's something that you have to work on. You see? So, no, this is an awesome series, man, and I loved every minute of it. Just hope and pray that there will be more like it in the up-and-coming future. So with that being said, I yield the mic. Anyone else? Okay. Well, all the lines are open. Okay.
Great Brother Paul.
Yes.
I need to check that out. Speaker. Okay. Thank you. You can hear me?
I can.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I had to take the phone in for speaker. I just wanted to say thank you so much. And Brother Jeremy, thank you for reading for your father. He did an excellent job keeping up. But I just wanted to tell you, thank you for taking out the time to do this series on watch and pray and prayer and meditation. I take that very seriously. I'm always asking people, especially my husband, we need to fast, we need to pray. Something I write on my sheet. It's time for us to fast and pray. You know, even let's do a 40-day fast. Let's, you know, let's do a 2-week fast. You know, can we please do a 24-hour fast? I'm feeling something in my spirit. But let me tell you something. I used to, when I was much younger, I used to fast and pray. Like, I didn't even know that that's what I was doing. But I used to fast and pray a lot, and especially on the weekends. On the weekends, I said, I'm going to fast and pray from Friday to Sunday night. And when I tell you, when you truly, not fast just to try to lose weight or just fast to get a blessing or something like that, but when you truly dig into yourself and you really look at yourself, the man in the mirror, and you fast and you pray and you ask the Lord to remove those things that are not right, those unclean spirits, because some things he said can't be removed but by fasting and praying. And these unclean spirits, I really think people need to fast and pray to get rid of them, whatever the spirit is that's on you that needs to, you know, come off. But I used to pray all the time, like, oh, my goodness. I used to be in my book every morning. I used to make sure the girls knew Ephesians chapter 6. They used to repeat it every morning before they walked out the door. They used to come home and repeat it again. We went to class faithfully on Wednesday nights, on Friday nights, on Saturday nights, Saturday mornings. We'd be there all day. And when I say the Lord answered prayers immediately, like I would think something in my mind, and the Father would just answer immediately, like within hours or seconds. And I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't even say anything. He just answered. You just brought me back to the fact that I need to get back into that again. I do it every now and then, but not like I used to. I used to do it every morning before I woke up. I used to say, Father, before I leave out this house, whatever I need to do, let it be your will. Wherever I go, let it be your will. Whatever I say, let it be your will. Whatever, you know, what I'd be like, what kind of, I'm going to go get a car today. What color do you want it to be, Lord? Or, you know, I like red, but whatever you want, whatever kind of car, whatever, Lord, it's you. It's all about you. I'm just walking. It's all about you. You lead, you guide me. So I just want to say thank you for this, for bringing me back to remind myself that I need to fast and pray. And I need to meditate in the morning before I walk out the house like I used to. I lost that. And I just want to say thank you for that. This is a great lesson that you put together. And it has brought back a whole bunch of flashback of memories of things that I used to do and things that I need to get back to doing. So I just want to say thank you so very much, and I yield the mic.
Praise be to God, sister. I remember there was a group of us that, I'm going back almost 20 years, was we all prayed and meditated every morning. And we'd get together once a week on Friday nights. We'd get together a couple times a week, but Friday nights was our Bible study night. And we'd end that night before we went home. Somebody would do the Lord's Prayer. We'd all repeat. And we'd just sit around in a circle. And we would just, as the Spirit moved, somebody would throw up a petition for a particular person or situation or whatever. And then 15, 20 minutes go by, whoever opened up that particular prayer session would close it. We'd go home. Sometime during that next week, we would see someone or hear about someone that we had prayed about that Friday night. Every week without fail. Power of prayer. Power of prayer.
Amen.
And I yield the mic on that. Anybody else?
Well, if any more lines open, all the lines are open. Okay. Yeah, all the lines are open. So if you have any closing comments, Brother Paul?
I just want to say that was awesome.
Yeah, big
that
time.
Was an awesome series.
Praise be to God. I'm going to close with this, sisters and brothers. Like I said, especially this particular method of prayer meditation, if you don't have anything that you're doing now for prayer or meditation, if you're just kind of reading in the morning or you really don't know how to pray and meditate, that's what this was about. Prove the Lord. I do this on a daily basis. I know Brother Job's in his book every morning. You just heard the sister say she's going to start getting back to it every morning. Prove the Lord in this. And if you need to seek out someone else that's doing it, hit me up. Hit me up on Facebook. hit me up on my email. Hit me up, 708-418-8811 is my number. Hit me up, and I'll be more than happy to bounce what you're getting and take it into prayer and meditation a couple mornings with you or whatever the case might be. But find a method that works for you, further your spiritual growth. I really appreciate the opportunities to take up part of your Sunday nights, and I wish you the best for the rest of the week. God willing, I'll see you here next week or sometime during the week. And with that, I'll yield the mic. Have a great night, everybody.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hey, I must have been on mute the whole time. I've been talking to myself. Hey, I didn't get a chance to tone in. I lost track of time. But I got a chance to hear a tad bit of it, so I just want to say shalom to everybody. Good to hear your voice, bro.
Good to hear it from you, brother.
This is Brother with capital I.
Hello, Ms. Light.
Yes, sir, Brother Capital I.
With the country voice. You say I sound country. You know, but you're not there.
You shouldn't have said that. But anywho, well, we're going to say, well, great peace, great lesson, great precept,
great series,
brother. Very, very necessary. You know, like between you and Brother Miles and Brother, that brother just right now with that big capital I, you know, Isaiah Brown and the Comey, and you brothers putting together these series, man, and these, doctrines. You know, and what it may be, like the book of prophecy and Numbers, and hubris, knowledge, the pride of man, and prayer and meditation. That's study bound. You know, these are things that become doctrine. We gotta teach these things. We gotta prepare for these things. A lot of us don't know how to pray before God. A lot of us never, ever, ever was taught. And some of us was not taught to take prayer seriously. We were just taught that. Because we've been looking at the Roman Christians take prayer and just run out of control with it. And so we didn't want to be like them, but we knew that we had to be somewhere with them in prayer. So we kind of like, we pray, but we don't pray, you know, like with a shirt tie on, you know, and we do it like that. But that's not, you're supposed to, with all your heart, reach out to the Lord. Anyway, great precepts, great message. And God, when we live, we'll be back here again next Sunday for the Fellowship of the Spirit with our brother Paul Mazaluski. And great job reading, Brother Jeremy. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify somebody. Oh, yeah, and you want to be here Tuesday night for the Philadelphia Assemblies with our brother Bob Farr. So you want to be here for that. That's this Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. for the Philadelphia Assemblies. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible, people.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.